idea of having somebody to lean on. And I think it's appropriate when we think about family promise, but I think it's appropriate when we think about the people that we know and care about that are going through so much. And so I want to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit, and I want to think about leaning on each other, but certainly more about leaning on the Holy Spirit and what that means and how it can help us. And the truth that even though we feel like we're hanging on, even like Tracy says, sometimes we just feel like we're just barely hanging on. And one of my favorite evangelists in the Church of the Nazarene is Bob Hoots, and he wrote a poem of Hold On. And he talked about being in a hotel room or something out on the road doing evangelism ministry. And that's all he could just think about was holding on, just making it another day. And sometimes life is like that. But I want to think about this idea of leaning on people. And despite how warm it makes us feel, and despite the idea of people caring for us, I think we have sometimes bad ideas about this. And so I just want to share just a few of these things. And one of them is the idea that we really don't need anyone. I mean, we know we kind of need people. But I mean, really needing people. That now I kind of grew up, things were a little bit difficult, especially financially. And I remember just thinking, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. And I think there are people that go through life thinking, I don't need anybody. And just like the lean on me, it's kind of like, listen, people can't help you with your problems if you're not willing to share what they are. And I think we do that. I think we do that for a number of reasons. And we can't share everything with everybody equally, but hopefully you have somebody that you can lean on. But certainly even more true that you have the Holy Spirit that you can lean on. I hate this one. And I think more people have this than we might think, but the idea that we really don't deserve anyone. Or even sometimes if we look at our life and we look at the sin of our life or things that we've done, the idea that we're really not worthy of love or that we don't deserve for somebody to love us. I hate that. Yet so many people can be filled with shame over so many different things, and it's just like, you know what, I guess. And even when we go through difficult times, a lot of times the idea is, I guess I'm getting what I deserve. And and then there's this one that's maybe similar in some ways, but I'm ashamed to need anyone. You know, why do I need anybody? You know, I'm a grown person, or I'm in a, you know, whatever my situation is. Why should I need anybody? And so we almost feel like needing people is a sign of weakness. But the truth is, we all need someone to lean on. And so I want to talk about a passage in John where Jesus is sharing a little bit about the Holy Spirit and how he's there for us. And so we'll get started. Oops. This thing's having a mind of its own. Now here's some words of Jesus. If you look in John chapter 13 to like John chapter 17, it's filled with Jesus' teaching. It starts out where he washes his disciples' feet, and it ends where he's praying for his disciples. And then it goes into where he's going to the cross and those kind of things. But he says this as he's in his conversation with his disciples in this part of John. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." And so you can imagine the disciples and Jesus, and he's been there and he's been patient with them and he's taught them and he's encouraged them. And then now he's talking about going away, and the disciples are perplexed and they're saddened. And then Jesus says this really kind of almost weird idea. "Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away, because unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So it's this idea that Jesus is saying, listen, there is a better day coming even than this day, because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And so this is the passage that I kind of want to focus on this morning. Jesus says this, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Again, Jesus is encouraging his disciples. One of the things that I want to talk about today, because we all come from different places spiritually, religiously. I came from a normal church, but we were pretty fired up about living right, living holy. And there were a lot of rules in my life, a lot of rules. You couldn't go out to eat on Sunday. Then my family had its own rules, like how long your hair could be, whether you could have a tattoo or not, what kind of clothes you could wear, how tall your skirt could be. I went to this church, and I'm going to leave the names out, but the names just want to flow from my lips. But there were these two girls, and they were both very dark-haired girls. And their family's conservative view says you couldn't shave your legs until you were 18. These were very dark-haired, hairy girls. And that's a scary thing, to seeing those nyloned legs with all that hair sticking through them. And somehow we thought that was better. That was the right way to go. And so in my life, there were a lot of things that made sense, and then there were some things like those hairy legs that didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And so I think sometimes we, in our relationship with Jesus, we confuse a lot of things. We think it's about the length of our hair or how we dress or how often we go to church or how much money we give or all these different things. But one of the things that I want to remind you as we think of this passage, the passage that we're talking about, but in this larger context of Jesus' teaching, Jesus begins by washing his feet, and they don't get that. And Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, because that's right, I am. I am that." But he says it's our relationship is more than that. And he goes on to talk, and he washes their feet, and then he shares a meal with them, even knowing that Judas was there and he was going to betray him. And then Jesus starts to comfort his disciples, saying, "Hey, listen, you know, I am going to go away, but I'm going to come back." And then he says, "You know what? I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit." And he teaches them, and he tells them, "Hey, things are going to happen, and I want you to know that they're going to happen, because when they do happen, they're going to want to knock the wind out of your sails, but I want you to know ahead of time that they're coming, so when they do come, that you'll know that I knew about that, and I'm going to be there for you." So the whole idea of our relationship with God being that a relationship as opposed to just a set of rules or a set of doctrines that we adhere to. And so to me, this is so very important, because we all, again, approach our faith differently. And I really have got to fight this idea that I'm living a life that's good enough that God would accept me, because He does accept me. I cannot earn my salvation. Literally, last night in the sanctuary, I was praying, reminding myself, "For it is by grace you have been saved." Not how well you are a preacher. And that's difficult for me, because so often I view my relationship with God based on how well I do. And that can really destroy you at times if you're not careful. So I want us to think about this relationship, and I want you to... I vacillated on reading all these verses, but I'm going to read them all, because these are all in this, it's not a small passage in John, but he just reiterates this idea over and over and over and over again. So if you are a follower of Christ, you need to understand that this is foundational for you. At least it should be. So Jesus is ending, he's reaching the end of his life, and so he's telling his disciples some of the most important things that he's going to ever tell them. You know, it's not like if we come to the end of our life, we're going to be talking a bunch of nonsense. We're going to be telling people that we love, that we care about them, and we're going to, I mean, what we share at the end of our life is going to be some of the most significant things that we share. And so Jesus deals with this over and over again. So in John 13, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And I'm not going to comment on all these, but I just want you to read them and think about them and understand how Jesus emphasizes this again and again. And then he says, "If you love me, keep my commands." I think sometimes we look at things like this and we think that God is kind of like, "If you love me, you'll get me that soda." Well, I just remember being an older brother doing some heavy-duty manipulation on my younger siblings, you know. You're like, "If you love me, you'll do this. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to beat you up if you don't do this." And I think sometimes we look at things like this and we feel like Jesus is just really kind of like just demanding that we follow him, and it just... But one of the first things I thought of when I saw this was the part of the marriage ceremony where you take the ring, and it, generally in the ceremonies that I say, "This ring I give you as a token of my love and as a pledge of my constant fidelity." So it's like, listen, we're going to be in this incredible relationship together, but this is part of what this means. I'm the only one. And I'll be there in sickness and in health. And these are kind of the relational kind of parameters of our relationship. And so Jesus is just emphasizing this. And again, it's not, "If you love me, you'll keep my commands." But if you love me, you'll keep my commands. It's just... And then he says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." And again, he just keeps saying this over and over again. The one who loves me, and catch this kind of language, "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So Jesus is bringing the Father in and the connection that they have and the love that they share. And then later he goes on, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this..." Okay. I don't know where in the world that slide came from. Back to John 14. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." And so again, it's this idea of love that is so significant as we think about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Not that he's going to punish us when we get to the end of our life if we haven't done everything just exactly the way he wants us to do it. "If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." And so he's drawing this parallel. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Doesn't this seem like a good world to live in? "This is my command, love each other." And Jesus says, "No, the Father himself loves you." Why? "Because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." And so we see this important, this idea of the relationship and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." But before that, he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And then he says, "And then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." I want to take a minute and let you think about this. Jesus says, the world cannot accept the Spirit because it doesn't see him nor doesn't know him, but you know him because he's with you and will be in you. So I want you to think, if you are a believer, if you call yourself a Christian, Paul says in Romans that if we follow Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ. So if the Spirit of Christ is in me, if this is a truth, now granted, it's a difficult truth. What does that mean exactly? But if the Spirit of Christ is in me, Jesus says the Spirit is with you and he's going to be in you. He's going to be intimately close to you. Well, what can that mean? It's interesting. I'm not going to share you the details, but I'm taking a class right now called The Courage to Be Human, and so they're having us look introspectively at ourselves. And I was reading in Jeremiah, looking at a memory card, and it says, if you wanted to, you could turn from your detestable idols. And I just started to reflect a little bit, and I said, is there anything in my life that kind of distracts me from God? Is there anything like that? So I started to run through my collection of things, and I came up with one. I'm not going to share it with you, but I just came up with one. It's kind of a general thought. And I thought, what is God's answer to that? And I had over here forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, calling, the idea that my life counts. It counts not only in as far as who I am, but what I do. And I listed all these things. And then I thought, well, those are the answers, but so often I don't live according to the answers. I live according to these things. And you know what was interesting? On this other side, like fear came up 5 times. I remember when I first started pastoring, this was 1990. People like to call you at the crack of dawn. We didn't have cell phones, or everybody didn't have cell phones, everybody didn't use cell phones. And I remember people calling really early. And I remember going to the phone. Church of the Nazarene, Church of the Nazarene, Church of the Nazarene, Church of the Nazarene. Hello, Church of the Nazarene. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. Why I felt like I had to be awake, I don't know. Because I was afraid. Now, you might say, well, fear isn't a part of my life. I'm glad for you if that is true. But many of you deal with fear. Some of you deal with fear of dying. Some of you deal with fear of what's going to happen to your children. Some of you deal with fear of what's going to happen to your marriage. Some of you are dealing with the fear that the mistakes of your life will someday bubble to the surface. And so I just think about this idea that Jesus says, you know, listen, it's good that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. And not only this is it the idea that the Comforter is with you, but that the Comforter is in you. And I think if the Spirit of Christ is in me, maybe he can chase that fear away. Maybe I can start living on this side of the page instead of living on this side of the page. So even for you, as you think about your life, I'm just going to, this is my last personal thing I'm going to share. I just want a personality different than the one I've got. I've lived 53 years with this life. I'm ready to change it in for something different. I'm ready to walk into a room with one other person in it and not feel like I got to say anything to them. We'll go places. Cammy will be with me, and first thing she'll say is, Dad, don't say anything to them. It's like automatic. It's like somebody pulls, it's just automatic. But there's a whole lot that I wish were different in my life. And you know what I really believe? One is, it's okay to be different, and you don't have to be perfect about everything. But you know what I believe is that I believe that if the Spirit of Christ is in me, that God can change me. I mean the things that are important that need to be changed. Isn't that good to know? That I can be changed. If the Spirit of Christ is in me, I don't have to be haunted by the sin of my past. I think, man, these are incredible things. Incredible. We were meeting Pastor Brian and myself, and by the way, it's good to have Pastor Heather back. She's back from vacation. Karen, and Pastor Brian is still way on sabbatical, so don't start whispering things that he left the church. He didn't. He's just on sabbatical. But anyways, he's still been meeting with the teens, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit and kind of talking about this idea a little bit. And I asked Pastor Brian. I said, you know, why don't you share? This was an impromptu question, but he's good, so I didn't mind asking him. I said, why don't you share with us this idea of Christ in us and the difference that it can make, and why sometimes it doesn't make more difference? You know, if you think about the people that are in this room, and if you think about the Spirit being at work in them, sometimes you can look at somebody and you can just really feel like, wow, the Spirit is really at work in that person's life. And somebody else, you think, man, well, not so much. But so I was talking with Pastor Brian, and I was thinking, how do we deal with this idea that the Spirit is in us, and yet sometimes it doesn't make that much difference? And he came up with this word, and I loved it. And again, it's hard to explain what does the Bible mean that the Spirit of Christ is in me? How does that interact with me? I love this word. Pastor Brian, thank you. Somebody can pass that on. But he says the Holy Spirit is unobtrusive. I think he was trying to show off, to be honest with you. Unobtrusive. There's an old song, Larnell Harris, and it's written from the perspective of God, and God is saying, you know what, I miss my time with you. I want to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me if your spirit's empty? And so here's what I think, that Jesus gave us this incredible promise. And we're really not going to know it if we haven't have this idea at the foundation of who we are, that love is what defines us. It isn't following the rules or doing whatever, but love is what defines our relationship with Christ. If we love Him, we'll do what He commands. But so we have this incredible promise that He'll send us the Holy Spirit because He wants us to experience what that means. Now, the Holy Spirit sometimes will get involved in our life in a powerful way. It was funny, last week, I hadn't preached for a couple weeks. You know, you get very rusty when you're a preacher. And when you guys don't look like you're listening, I just turn it up. Just turn it up. That's the way we did it, my family. You're losing an argument, turn it up. And I was turning it up, and little Pearl kept turning it up. And I'd get louder, and she'd get louder, and then I'd have to get louder because she was getting louder. And later I thought, you know, God was saying, I kept telling you, tone it down. Tone it down. You didn't listen. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit does get involved in our life in kind of more significant ways. But you know what I think? I think if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of Christ. And if you can somehow, I've been praying about this issue of distractions. Everybody's personality is a little bit different. I like to have stuff going on. I told you about motorcycles last Sunday. I'm out talking with Sam this morning. Brought his motorcycle. Now, I didn't tell him this, but I keep praying that he gives it to me. But anyway, no pressure. But it's like, I like action. I like doing things. But I feel like God has this incredible gift for me. But he's waiting for me to say, God, speak to me. He wants me to turn the TV off or the radio off or get off of Facebook or put my phone down. And here's what I absolutely believe, that a relationship with God that is what it should be is better than anything else. Yet we're often looking at our relationship and thinking, nah, it just doesn't seem like this is that significant. And maybe because it isn't that significant. But I think, what if I start treating the fact that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ is in me, and I can have constant fellowship with Jesus? But, you know, I feel like he's, and again, it's so hard to talk about how this works and the Spirit being in us, but, you know, it's kind of like, Larry, hey, I'm here. When you want to put me in the right place, when you want to focus on me, I'm here. When you really want to beat fear, I'm here. When you really want to stop feeling alone, I'm here. But I think it's so important for us to understand that God wants to do so much, but he isn't going to break in on us all the time. I remember one time when my office was still in the church over here, and I was praying. And I don't know what I was going through. I was praying, and I just wanted a good ball. Like, I just wanted a good Christian ball. I don't know if you guys might not be like that. Like, every now and then, I like a good ball. I felt like God said, get up. You don't need a ball. B-A-W-L. I don't even know if it's a word. Is ball a word? I thought maybe it was a Michigan word. You were looking at me like, yeah, this is... And I felt like, get up. Stand on my promises. Stop looking for feelings to validate everything. By the way, feelings are great, but if we live our life based on feelings, we're in trouble. Okay, just a couple more things. Now, just like I love the idea of lean on me, I love this idea. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I wish someday I could preach a sermon on that that would be adequate for that, what that says. That they may be one as we are one. Jesus is talking about his relationship with the Father, and he's talking about us. That they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Now, not complete sameness, not that they all agree on the same things, but there's this unity that we're all in it together. Then the world will know that, and I love this, then the world will know that you have sent me and had loved them even as I have loved you. As I was preparing for this message, I was reading a little article on the Holy Spirit, and it says, a church divided by the Holy Spirit, divided by thoughts on the Holy Spirit, is a scandal. And I'm thinking, you know what? The church in so many ways is such a... Paul says in Romans, he says, the outsiders blaspheme because of you. I mean, it's just like you're a terrible example. And I think the same thing can happen to us. But I want to finish with this. Now, this is from Acts chapter 1, thinking about the Holy Spirit, thinking about Jesus saying, you know, you know him. He was with you. He's going to be in you. He says, it's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, I think we forget, if we are going to be living a life, if Jesus' Spirit is in us, He is going to be challenging us with how we live. Maybe the challenge is going to be in the circumstances of our life. Maybe the challenge is God saying, I want you to do X. And we say, I don't want to do X. But here's this great truth. So again, what about this Holy Spirit living in me? Luke says, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is one of my favorite examples of power in the Holy Spirit. When Carrie and I were first married, 1990, she was a cheerleading coach. Yes, she was, weren't you? I think she taught 7th and 8th grade. She was a 7th grade cheerleading coach. And now, Carrie's pretty fired up. I mean, she can be fired up. But she wasn't that fired up then. Now, I wouldn't give this example if it were today. But since it's not today, it was 20, long time ago. I'll give you the example. So Carrie's up there. The girls are warming up. And the school is playing some get them charged up music. You know how it is before the basketball games and charged up music. Does everybody get that? Okay. They're playing to get these seventh graders fired up. I want to sex you up. Carrie hears what they're playing. I mean, fires around the gym to the guy with a record player, whatever it was he was playing. I think it was actually a record player. Cassette. Great technology. She says, she walks up to the guy, I want to sex you up. I want to sex you up. I want to sex you up. That's what you're playing? I want to sex you up? These are seventh graders. I want to sex you up. Now listen, please don't get me say this. I feel like the church is constantly yelling at the world. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying sometimes God, Holy Spirit, needs to get inside of us. And we need to care. And so even for all of us, I think, even when you look at the situation that Brian and Tracy are going through, and they're not the only ones going through, we're all going through difficult times. Some certainly more significant than others, I guess. But I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit living in us, and what that really means. And yet how it's so easy to just leave them sit off to the side of our life and somehow take comfort in the fact that when we die, we're going to heaven. I think I want more than that. I want more than that. I want to be changed. I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to do something that's beyond me because something in me is doing something. And I'm thinking, we have that. I can see Jesus saying, it's good that I go away. You're going to have a constant companion. When you're in the shower, I'm there. When you're driving on the road, I'm there. When you're crying your eyes out, I'm there. When you're doubting yourself, I'm there. When you're reaching the end, I'm there. And the part is, our part, I guess, is reach out to him. Anyway, I'm done. But I think we're going to have the praise team come pray. I mean, what are you going to do? Sing. And prayer is significant, folks. Caring for each other is significant. And you don't have to come forward to pray, but sometimes it can help. And it's hard to help somebody with something that they won't let show. So I just want to pray for you. They're going to sing. Maybe you want to come pray. We're going to gather around and pray for you. At least I'll pray for you. After the service ends, we're going to give you a few minutes, and then please come back in and ask any questions you might have about Family Promise. Really kind of perfectly portrays the idea of lean on me. You know, let's pray together. Father, for me, I hate living below my privilege. And I don't say that in an arrogant way, but the God of the universe loves me, and I'm broken. Some of my brokenness comes from my own choices. Some of my brokenness was inflicted on me. But Father, you're there for me. You're there for us. And I particularly think about this idea that you so want to commune with us. You want us to experience your power at work in our life. Father, maybe there's a person here that your plan for them is one day they would go to somebody and say, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And then, Father, I weep over the idea of that person just living a regular life. Church is just kind of a little bit of a dressing on their life. Father, may this relationship with you be real. May we be as one as you and Christ are as one. But Father, everybody's in a different place. I don't know what needs to happen here today, but I want people to know. The issue is not, do you love them? Do you have time for them? Do you care for them? But are they going to trust you? Are they going to reach out to you? I pray that they would. I really pray that they would. Father, we give you these moments. We give you the truth of this song. Father, maybe somebody needs to step out in faith today. Experience your love at a different level maybe than they've experienced it before. We leave the details to you. We pray your Holy Spirit's presence would be with us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.